بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We are still studying the chapter that deals with i'tikaf, and we have, I believe, two hadiths remaining with us in this chapter. So, hadith 209. Yes, brother.
Narrated Ibn Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I vowed in the pre-Islamic period of ignorance to stay in i'tikaf for one night in Al-Masjidul Haram." And in another narration, a day in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Fulfill your vow."
Now, in this hadith, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ instructed Umar to fulfill his vow. But what is the ruling on making a vow? The scholars say making a vow is makruh, to pledge something that Allah Azza wa Jal did not oblige it upon you. This is makruh. And the Prophet said ﷺ that this is only means of extracting from someone who's miserly or stingy. Why? Usually, a person who's miserly or stingy would not pay sadaqah. But when he has something he needs, he says, "Oh Allah, if you cure my son, I will slaughter a sheep for your sake." So, he will only do this if Allah answers his supplication or fulfills his need. Otherwise, he will not do it. So the Prophet is telling us that this is bakhil. This is a stingy person who only offers charity in exchange for something. And we know that once a person pledges himself and vows something, then he has to fulfill it as long as it's in Allah's obedience. And Allah recommended and complimented those who do this. Allah said in Surah Al-Insan, "Yufuna bin nadhri wa yakhafuna yawman kana sharruhu mustatira," that these righteous people, they fulfill their vows and they fear a day that the danger of that day is so great. Now, Umar made his vow when he was not Muslim. Yet the Prophet ﷺ ordered him to fulfill his vow. And in one narration he said, "A night, I vowed to stay i'tikaf for a night." In another narrations, the scholar said that he did not mention neither a day nor night. So what is the ruling on fulfilling such an i'tikaf, such a vow? It is a must, as long as you committed yourself to it. Scholars say that, is it required for a Muslim to be fasting if it's not Ramadan? Some scholars said it is requirement because there is no i'tikaf without fasting, they said. However, the Prophet, as mentioned before, if you recall, offered i'tikaf for 20 days in Shawwal. And he did not, or it was not reported to us that he fasted them. And therefore, as Imam al-San'ani says, there are no evidences proving that you must be fasting when you do i'tikaf. So, how long should I make an i'tikaf? A day and a night, or only a night, or only the daytime? It depends on what you intended. If you said, "I have a vow to Allah that I will make i'tikaf for one night," this meaning from Maghrib till Fajr. But if you say, "I have an i'tikaf one day for Allah," this means the whole 24 hours, because a day includes the night as well. Is it permissible to make i'tikaf in any masjid? The answer is, as long as you pledged or vowed to make that in a masjid, a night or so, it is permissible. However, if you make a pledge, for example, or a vow to make i'tikaf in the Masjid of Medina, Can I make it in the Masjid of Mecca, for example? The answer is, yes, you can. How? Scholars say, what is more rewardable? To make i'tikaf in Medina or in Mecca? In Mecca, then you are actually having more of reward. But if it's the opposite, no. If I say I have one night i'tikaf as a vow in Mecca, in Haram, which the prayer is equivalent to 100,000. Can I change my mind and make it in Medina, which the prayer is equivalent to 1,000? And the answer is no, because it's a lower degree. So scholars say that if you change from low to high, it is okay. If someone vowed to slaughter a sheep, and then he found a cow, said, wallahi, I would like to slaughter a cow instead. Is this permissible? Yes, it's a higher thing, and it is beneficial more, and rewardable more. So one should always look at things from this perspective. And we move on to the second hadith, the hadith of Safiya. May Allah be pleased with her. And this hadith will be read by Muhammad Aman.
Safiya radhiyallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing i'tikaf in the masjid, and I came to visit him at night, and I spoke to him for a while. When I wanted to return to my house, he escorted me, and her house was in Osama ibn Zayd radhiyallahu anhu's house. Two men of the Ansar passed by, and when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they hastened in walking. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take it easy, she is Safiya bint Huwai. The two men wondered, saying, Subhanallah, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Satan circulates in the body of Adam's offspring as his blood circulates in it. I feared that he may throw evil in your hearts or something.
The short lessons to be learned is that it is permissible to leave your i'tikaf for a legitimate reason. And this legitimate reason was to take Safiya from the masjid to her house. Who is Safiya? Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. May Allah be pleased with her. Her husband, her father, her uncle were Jews. And they betrayed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they broke all treaties with him, and they were executed when there was a war, a battle between them. And Safiya, may Allah be pleased with her, came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to ask for her freedom, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave her her freedom. She accepted Islam, and the Prophet married her alayhi salatu wasalam. So Safiya, may Allah be pleased with her, came to the Prophet to talk to him in the masjid, which means that once you make i'tikaf in the masjid, don't be a smart aleck and turn off your mobile. Whenever your wife wants to talk to you, you hang up in her face and say, oh, I'm i'tikaf. No, you're allowed to talk to your wife. You're allowed to answer her queries if she has any. You even are allowed to meet her like Safiya did. So this is the sunnah. We can meet, we can talk, but no intimacy. And after a while, she went back to her home, and the Prophet ﷺ walked her to her home. On the way, two men of Al-Ansar were walking in their direction. They saw the Prophet with a woman, so immediately they changed their direction. Why? This is part of being respectful, because you don't want to embarrass the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by seeing she is his wife. But usually, when I see someone with his wife, I don't stop and say salam while his wife is with him, out of respect. Because people are jealous. You know, maybe if I do this, the brother would think that I'm trying to impress his wife or to show off. This is normal jealousy that men have. So the men changed their direction. Once they changed their direction and the Prophet saw them, he called them, take it easy, come, come. And the men stopped. And the Prophet said, this is Safiya bint Huyay, my wife. Of course, she's covered from head to toe. And the men were shocked and said, Subhanallah, Rasulullah, what is this? Why are you telling this, O Prophet of Allah? We have no doubt. Yani, do you think that we think that this is not your wife, someone? No, at all. And the Prophet said, no. You misunderstood. The devil, Satan, circulates your body like blood circulates your body. And I was afraid that he would throw something, just an idea, just a hint in your heart that would nullify your Islam. Because if you doubt the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he's doing this or that, what is this? An act of blasphemy. We have a short break. We'll be right back.